You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
In the world, well, today, first on the program today, the county mayor will join us. Mayor Mark Luttrell will be here. He gave his speech yesterday, the state of Shelby County, and he ran down a number of things. Top of his list is the opioid crisis that he has been involved in various ways, kind of planning on how to approach this. He was impeded a little bit in his progress November, I guess it was, when Heidi Schaefer and her band of merry men tried to intercede and sue somebody and hired a lawyer and showed their behind over there trying to hop on this before the mayor did. And Mark had a plan and wanted to do it his way, and he ultimately did. So I suppose it shut them up, and the commission will likely now fall into line behind him. He's a lame duck mayor. He's done with this. So you have to wonder if the next guy in charge or gal will carry on what the mayor intends to propose and did propose yesterday. We'll ask him more about that. He discussed the opioid crisis, education, and the usual things that are of concern in this county. So we'll look forward to seeing the mayor, Mark. Mayor Mark, not the Mayor Mark. That sounded weird. But he is the mayor, and he will be here. Shea Flynn, 8 o'clock. We can discuss a number of things because there are things the city council met yesterday. And for the first time, I think, in this current term, they showed some of the stubbornness and stupidity that they are known for over the rates of MLG and W. There's always a contingent that votes against any kind of increase on anything for any reason. And just on the face of it, they just do it. I don't know what their ideology, what drives them to do this, but it is not productive. They have zero big picture thinking and a consistently myopic approach to things like this. The thing I'm speaking of is the rate increases at MLG and W, which as time goes by, these things cost more money. Light, gas, and water. This stuff ain't free, and it ain't getting cheaper. And the proposal, they've finally had to arrive at some kind of compromise. At least that was one positive. Because they had proposed a certain amount, 4-point-something% that would have raised, it was a 4.5% increase. In gas for 2018 and 19, and then 2.3% increases for power from 2018 to 2020. So what this would have done, had that gone the way that it should have, this would have been left alone for years to come and put in place and would have likely added $4 or $5 a month to your bill, which, poor or rich or whatever you may be, if you can't afford $4 or $5 a month, then get a second job. This is not that big of a deal. These are the foundations of your existence, light, gas, and water. And they wanted to bitch about it. And there were 4 or 5 people that voted against it, and they have been arguing over this point for 2 months. I'm trying to decide if I have missed out on something here that is not as plain as day. But Bill Morrison, who is usually pretty quiet on the council, was highly annoyed by this and voiced his disappointment. The word here being used is bitter. They spent 2 months on this, going back and forth, and they decided on a smaller increase, 2%, for both of these services. So you're going to end up maybe with about $3 more on the average household bill monthly, as opposed to what might have been, $4 or $4.50, something like that, and it wouldn't have been a bother for years to come. But for some reason, as they face these mounting pressures on finance, reduced cash reserves, and possible downgrades in their bond ratings, they still refuse to understand this, and they passed it finally 8-4. Joe Brown, as usual, Justin Ford, Jamita Swearingen, and Philip Spinoza opposed. I don't know what their reason is for opposing. Is there a reason here I didn't get, Wesley?
I'm not seeing it. The only thing I'm seeing here came from Boyd, who ended up voting for it. He said the timing was bad. And the
why is the timing bad? Because of the new meters?
Because of the meters, and he thinks that the incoming president ought to review the finances before they should approve a hike. But he went with this one.
I don't get why the new meters, which of course are being monitored by the commies, and they're watching your every move. That was a concern of Ms. Full of Love, as I recall, a few years back. But that's kind of old news, I thought. Or perhaps they're still putting those in as time goes by. Anyway, they got this done, but it is short-sighted. This could have been wrapped up and not revisited for a number of years. But in this case, this has to now go back to 2019. They'll bring it up again. So a year, as opposed to maybe 8, 9, 10 years, would have been this would have been fine. But these increases are a natural evolutionary process because things cost more money as time goes by. So this is the first time, I think, in almost it's been about 2 years since something of this. I don't want to say it's a gigantic deal, but it just seems to be not particularly smart to do it this way. But politicians complain and bitch for reasons that nobody understands. And so this one, I don't know. We'll ask Shay if we're missing something. He'll be here at 8. He used to do this, and now you understand why he bailed because of things like this over a few points and a few dollars that don't make any sense in the big picture. And politicians ought to think big picture, but that seems to be a problem. Or they can now say, well, I didn't vote for that. I did not vote to raise your rates. They won't use the word taxes. They'll find some other way. But they can now say, in Joe Brown's case and Justin Ford and whoever else, we voted again. We said no. How long can Joe Brown serve? Can he go away someplace? He's been there too long. Go somewhere and fish. So that's just one thing to bitch about that just seems a little bit ridiculous. This is not really good news either. New data finds that Memphis, Tennessee, is the poorest large metro in America. You hear this all the time around here. It's become kind of a broken record, but nonetheless, it is true, and it persists, and it is a problem that is an issue that provides other tentacles off of it that we discuss constantly. Poverty, 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 due to a number of things, but it is a real letdown, says a lady at U of M's Department of Social Work. She told the council members Tuesday about these new numbers that were released earlier this week. The numbers come from 2016 and show that the city is actually getting poorer. The overall poverty rate, 26.8%. The poverty rate for kids, which is the saddest part of the whole thing, is 44.7%. She says, to me, what's most alarming is the wages and the wage differential. That is a reality, but I don't know what the answer is. And apparently nobody else does either. The inequality that's clearly occurring, she says. Black folks in town have a median annual income $20,000 less than whites. This is territory that if you venture into on in the media and start being honest about it, you're going to get in trouble. There seems to be an effort ongoingly to award contracts as far as construction and various jobs on an equal basis, because there are many people who advocate for black businesses and attempt to get them the same kind of chance that somebody else gets. And in many cases, they do get that chance. But these numbers don't lie, I suppose. I don't know how to reply to it or how any politicians can reply to it. But that's a pretty huge disparity. When we recruit companies to come here and then provide the incentives for them to be here, They're discussing the pilot issue. Martavius Jones says we need to require or incentivize more companies that pay much more than a living wage. I don't know how well those two things, I guess, work in concert some way. But still, there is poverty. There is a wage disparity. There has been for a long time. And it's getting worse. I thought it was getting better because of the ongoing advocacy for black businesses and to make this a bit more equal. I don't know how you go, you know, place by place and see who got what contract and who didn't. It may take 5 years, may take 10 years, says Martavius. And the city council, county commission will have a joint meeting in a few weeks to discuss these numbers and determine how the governments can improve the problem. The end of that story to me is what we discussed yesterday. These two governments and two mayors and two governing outfits are part of the problem. We have to go to two different places to get anything done. And if we had one, it would be a lot easier, it seems like. Most American cities of this size have already understood that, and they have fixed it. Louisville and several more combined the governments, made it one big place, and everything worked out a lot better. This city, though, is a different animal. And everybody on earth can find an excuse for why we can't do that. But this at least shows that the council and the commission can work together, maybe, but you just can't, you know, cure this issue of poverty with some kind of a magic wand. The issues are deep and they are foundationally, well, they've been here forever. And they aren't going to just change overnight. The, you know, business thing and who gets paid what, that's a drag. That's unfortunate, but I don't know what the answer is. But, and I guess no one does, or they'd fix it. So that one is one more to look at, and one more bad thing that I'm sure that the Chamber of Commerce that Shea is a part of, and, you know, Kevin Kane and his people and the tourists and all that, they don't like seeing things like this, that this is a, you know, poor city and getting more poor all the time. It ain't good, but what do you do? The optimistic folks among us try to carry on and find ways around that, but I don't know what the fix is, and no one does. Now, this is a pretty interesting concept and a smart proposal from our friend Matt Cunningham at the Police Association. Matt has been working tirelessly along with his colleagues over there, Mike Williams. They have proposed, and I don't know where this goes now, because surely somebody can find a reason to bitch about this. The MPA and the firefighters have proposed a half-cent increase in the city's sales tax to fund public safety. A number of these men got short shrift on this issue of their benefits, their pensions, their pay. It's been, what, 4 or 5 years now since all this went down, and they're trying to find some sensible ways to make that back and to kind of even things out. 9.25 to 9.75% doesn't sound like much, and you likely would not even, you know, notice it. But the city council could pass an ordinance to put a thing on the ballot to vote on it, but that's not expected. I don't. Who wrote this story? Channel 5. This idea to put it on the ballot, why wouldn't that work? The city council could say yay or nay, and this story suggests immediately that they would say no. The MPA is trying to do a campaign to gather people to sign some kind of petition, and they would need 10% of voters in Memphis to sign it in order to get the issue on the ballot. 10% is not too far off of how many people vote in this town for any election.
That's about right.
So I see a problem there. This idea seems to be smart and not that difficult to carry out until you get to that sentence, that the council would likely turn down the idea of putting it on, you know, on the ballot. And so they have to figure out some way to get people to sign a petition 10% of people that are signed up to vote. There's your big hurdle right there. So Matt Cunningham made the comment, this is the best idea that they have come up with, that eases the burden on some of these people and has a small impact on the citizens of this town. Everybody hollers about crime, and they want it fixed, but nobody wants to give the police department the money to fix it. And we've been down this road now for years, so there's no point to, you know, go, you know. But this idea seems to be sensible, not crazy, not over the top. They hope for the measures to bring in at least $35 million to restore the cuts. That's a lot of money for a small raise in the sales tax. That would restore the cuts to retirees and health benefits for the employees of the city from 2015 when all this went down. So you can see, and you will see in the summer months, a campaign by the MPA and the MPD to have you sign these petitions and to get these policemen and firefighters what they need and deserve to keep this city safe and, you know, functioning, and I hope they can pull this off.
Yeah, there's apparently, per the showmevote.com, 286,000 plus registered voters in the city.
10% would be 28,000.
Right.
So can they get that done? So there's only that number of people in this city who vote?
A little over a quarter million. No, who are registered voters.
Well, that's depressing on the face of it. That's about a third of the people in the metro, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's part of your problem. That's about a third of the city metro population that is even signed up to vote. And how many of them actually exercise that right when it comes up? Not very many. And you wonder why we have problems? There's your answer. We'll see. The MPA has to get, let's say, 28,000 people to sign this. Assuming that if you sit out someplace in front of Kroger, I don't know, and I'm going to ask Matt what the plan is, they will ask you to sign something to get this done. They got to first verify, though, that you can vote. And if you can't, they don't need your name on the paper.
And it's probably illegal to ask them to sign after they pulled someone over. Here's your ticket. And by the way, will you sign?
Yeah, there's an imbalance there in something, but I think it is a sensible idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it just truly is. But it gets into the details, and you go, well, now wait a minute. How many people will take this seriously? How many can even vote and have the voting card to prove it? Well, I hope they have success with this, and any help we can offer, we will, to spread the word. But good luck, Matt, and Mike Williams. This is a sensible idea that should not require that much drama, but you can bet your ass it will. That one is going on. That's all the fun locally. Other things. Oh, the Senate apparently has the House passed another stopgap bill that would fund the government through March 23rd or something. I don't know. They did this last night. And so they'll likely get it signed in the Senate and send it to what's his name at the White House. And so Mr. Trump, in his way, says he'd love to see a government shutdown. He said it three times in one paragraph. He'd love to see a shutdown. Because Mr. McConnell of the GOP and Chuck Schumer of the other party would like to get this spending bill done and then approach the issues of DACA and of the immigration laws after they get the basics done, get the foundation laid of all the basic needs, and then go back and look at the specifics of immigration. This is not a simple process. This is not about just, you know, cutting a check to build a wall. $25 billion? What happened to these Mexicans going to pay for it? Where did that go? I guess they forgot. So now we're supposed to pony up $25 billion for this ill-advised concept that is very complicated. And as mentioned before, the idea of a wall, a physical wall, that's not really how this works anymore. There are three or four different components to the immigration concept that they want changed. They want all the criminals out of the country that are from Mexico. That is lovely. Great idea. Get them out of here. But there are already a number of things in place attempting to do that. And the stubbornness of the White House at this point on this may end up in these dreamers, as they're called, and others being put in a really bad position, which makes this country look heartless. And there are ways to do this to keep our borders secure, keep this country safe. Everybody wants that. No one is against, you know, that concept. But the way that we're going about it is just ignorant. And so McConnell, you know, went against what Mr. Trump said. We don't want to shut down. That's not the point. But Trump can't help himself. And so the games get played continually. And I'm tired of, playing into whatever he said the previous day. So they're trying to get this thing funded. The best case scenario would fund it for a year, I guess. But currently, this new stopgap bill would fund the programs here at home till March 23rd and give the Pentagon, they want some more money for the military. The Pentagon's full year budget, $659 billion. Now, as I say that, and as we all, understand how important the military is, and the facts again that this country spends more money on the military than the next six behind us.
They're about
Russia, China, and so on. We spend a lot of money on this country's military. There are many different divisions of the military and departments and such that fall under that heading. And then you see a story like this, it makes you wonder. And these stories pop up on a regular basis. And this came out Monday, and I saw it in a different form. There's an audit going on at the Pentagon. They're trying to see how the money is spent and managed and who is doing their job and who's not. Because the Pentagon's a pretty big operation, as you can imagine. Yeah. They have a lot of people that work there. The audit issued by Ernst & Young shows cases where a large Pentagon agency failed to properly keep track of more than $800 million in construction projects. They're not paying attention, and they have peed away $800 million. Quoting the report, across the board, its management financially is so weak that its leaders and oversight bodies have no way to track the huge sums it's responsible for, the firm warned in their initial audit of the massive Pentagon purchasing agent. This one department employs 25,000 people. They handle the procurement of supplies, materials, and other needs of the U.S. military from vendors, fuel and water and food and medicines and so on. 25,000 people that have somehow managed to lose or misuse $800 million. And we need some more money for the military because of things like this, I'm thinking. I don't understand this enough to, talk about it too much. It is a vast, vast expense of a very, a huge part of our government. We have military bases in hundreds of, spots across the world. It's important, but you see what they're asking for, and then you read that story.
All right, and there later on it says the initial audit disclosed the Army had 39 Black Hawk helicopters in its fleet that weren't properly recorded in its system. So that makes you wonder how many other things are not properly recorded in the system and what happens to things like yep. Black Hawk helicopters and other weapons if they're not.
And the stories about how much equipment like tanks and things that we left in Afghanistan
right.
and in Iraq, they're just sitting there rotting or being used by the enemy. And that totals up to the billions. So we keep asking for money for the, you know, for this just never stops. But then you can look at the other side of it as to how the money is mismanaged and mishandled, because no fine American would say no to giving the military more money. How dare you? They're as effed up as a number of other departments under the heading of the U.S. government. And it's a grand waste of money. They're lazy, incompetent, and don't do their jobs. And so you wonder why the deficit continues to grow out of control. They just don't care. They figure that these senators will play on the military and patriotism, and we got to have this money to take care of our boys out there. Well, why don't you take care of your stuff at home and take care of the Pentagon and take care of this equipment and figure out what you're doing? That might be a nice place to start. And I can't imagine that anybody who is a patriot or a veteran has a problem with that. This is just mismanaged, has been forever. And how many stories do we not hear about? But this one was not discussed. I didn't see it discussed on any newscast, any other station, or network. But there it is. And then these stories, I almost just wad them up and throw them away. For it's just so easy to make observations and to carry an opinion about whoever is the president of this country. If it's Obama or Teddy Roosevelt, they're going to do something that makes somebody mad and something that makes, you know, somebody happy. So you're never going to please all of the people. But but some of these things keep popping up, and just these off the cuff, you know, random things that are proposed by the White House that you just go, huh? It's like Jeff Sessions and his comment. It's been 2 months now. A big press conference to announce a hammering down on this evil, evil marijuana. We have to stop this. Well, that went away. It was never heard of again.
Nothing's happened.
Because somebody told him, sir, this is not 1945. You're a little bit late. Some countries around the world, like North Korea, and this time this is a reflection of or a response to Bastille Day in France. President Trump was there and saw a military parade. So he has told the Pentagon that he wants a display of military might in Washington along the same lines as the extravagant and incredibly expensive parade he saw in Paris last year. He wants a, quote, really great parade. Insiders say that he has told some commanders to start making plans. The marching orders were, I want a parade like the one in France. There is work being done in the military. They're trying to figure out now how to pay for it. This would cost millions of dollars, and nobody has any idea where the funding will come from. No date has been set. And there is little, quote, meat on the bones for the plan. The commanders of the military are believed to prefer Veterans Day to mark the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, which would make some sense.
Yeah.
So Sarah Huckabee had to make some comment about how the president is supportive of America's great. We are all supportive of America's military. Great respect to them. How about we spend some money on the veterans and F this parade? Why don't you put the money to some use that is productive by helping the VA in lieu of showing everybody how many toys we've got in a parade around D.C.? This is like a child, you know, pulling out his you know, army men and his tanks.
It, when I first heard the story, I recalled doing that very thing with my old army men when I was about 8.
I did the same thing. But, you know, I think his heart's in the right place. But he just, you know, spews these things out. And then you got to find the answers for how to pay for it. You know, when to do it. Is it necessary to flex our muscle? Everybody knows that we're badasses. But we are, you know, peeing away money left and right. Due to incompetence and due to these, you know, flamboyant ideas that really don't benefit anybody. It's just more showing off.
And it just, it strikes me as a very bad look. I mean, I didn't know France did one. Obviously they do. But when I think of military parade, yep. I think of Stalin and Red Square.
Yep, me too.
And maybe North Korea. I don't think of United States.
Yeah, my first thought was of the, you know, lockstep and the these, you know, all these troops marching along looking prepared for battle as tanks and missile launchers and things, you know, roll along behind them. There's no marching bands and no floats and no balloons in these deals. This, you know, this is an this just shows that we are badasses. And that probably for this country shouldn't be necessary to show how badass we are. Everybody knows. But this kind of infantile stuff, just in my opinion, is unnecessary and an absurd waste of money. And it should be spent someplace where it's more, you know, apt to help somebody. Retired General Paul Eaton. Retired general. He was in the military one time. He works for the Vote Vets Action Committee. He issued a statement strongly criticizing the move. General Eaton, accusing Trump of acting like a wannabe Banana Republic strongman. This report came from somebody.
The Washington Post.
Yes. Well, and of course, they're evil and liberal bastards. And one of the best newspapers in the world, as most people know.
Well, that quote came from The Guardian.
So. It's all the same. Yeah. These damn liberals hate the military and America. So, anyway, that's just one more thing that maybe, if we're lucky, was just a, you know, spur of the moment. He had a Diet Coke and got that, you know, sugar rush to his brain and spat this out. It doesn't make any sense. It's not, we have other needs for the military beside a you know, freaking parade. But
the general's quote is perfect.
It's pretty strong.
We have more important things to do than focus on a damn parade.
That was it?
Yeah.
Well,
I was waiting for you to read it.
Well, then me and the general are on the same little wavelength there. And I was never a general, but we think alike. I guess we'll see more about this today on various news outlets, or maybe it'll just go away. Who knows? The stock market bounced back. That's a beautiful thing. The gains were regained, or the losses were regained. Everybody is calming down. This morning, the Asian shares up, European stocks up, indicating another good day likely. So everybody was, you know, in the panic mode. Our friends over at a Red Door Wealth Management, we had Fred Hyatt here on Monday, and these people. Manage your money over time, your investments. They do it for me and for you know, friends of mine. And they sent out yesterday a note to their clients, and I kept this to today because it is very well written and explains this current this thing that kind of upset everybody last week and on Monday, when it dove over 1,000 points. They sent this out to their clients. The catalyst for this market movement began last week was based upon the premise that things are too good. Everything is going, you know, great. We have low unemployment, the wage growth, tax reform, and the Fed might have to raise these rates quicker than they wanted to. In other words, investors are asking themselves, is the economy too good? This is a totally different narrative from 08 when the housing market was collapsing. It is not collapsing now. the market was going to be, you know, in this year. They thought it would certainly be up and down and volatile, but they encourage everyone to keep things in perspective. These are big numbers, but this is no reason to flip out. It's been much, much worse, and this is just the market adjusting to getting too healthy, too fast, and these corrections occur. So these guys are on top of it. If you need somebody to advise you on your finances, on your investments, Red Door is the way to go about it. They're on the internet. You can find their website and go over and see Fred or John or anybody who is involved and understands this stuff a lot better than most of us do. Their advice, they conclude, is don't panic. Keep your eye on your long-term plan and stay the course. They can help you with this stuff. And if you aren't getting answers from your financial people, Red Door can give them to you. Thank you, Fred, John, and Gretchen, and Daniel, and the entire staff. They're smart people. And to put this out to all their clients was a comforting thing to see because they know how this works, and most of us ain't got no idea. Thank you all very much. Red Door is online. You can find them and then go from there. We will do a break, I guess. What else did I have to mark here? Oh, there's all kind of stuff. The Olympics start tomorrow, and there is an outbreak in Pyeongchang of the norovirus. They had to take 1,200 security people, pull them off duty, and bring in some new ones. Hundreds of other people are quarantined. The noro is the one where you puke and poop involuntarily, just out of control for about a day or two. Great. So they're concerned about the spreading of this thing, the diarrhea and the vomiting. I think that during some of the lovely ice skating exercises, it'd be a drag to have one of these girls poop their pants. That'd be a really bad look.
And points off, too, from the sport.
I think way points off. If you crap your pants ice skating, it's not going to go very good for you or very well. So they're worried about that. So way to go. Thanks, North Korea or South Korea or wherever the hell this thing is. But this starts tomorrow, so they have time to empty their guts and sack up and go ride them bobsleds or whatever the hell they do.
The Zika virus didn't kill the athletes in Rio, so they're trying with the norovirus this time to spread that throughout the
world. This is a conspiracy, people. God. NBC will carry this, and I guess they're going to be doing this hours on end. So, yippee. So I hope these people all get well and they can dance and on the ice and ski and carry on, and it'll be awesome. So that's going on. Coming up again today, we'll give away some Sherry's Berries, a gift card to let you buy some roses and some of these great, great strawberries for your Valentine. You will love the concept. I've used it before. It is wonderful. They have flowers and the Sherry's Berries in a box. Dipped in chocolate, they are beautiful, and the flowers are too. They last for a long time. I believe they're probably alstroemerias, which will last for about 2 weeks. The perfectly paired product is what it is. It is on the internet at berries.com. There are some choices there, berries.com. A one-of-a-kind gift. You can choose what you want. Today only, you get the one dozen red roses. How about that? And dipped gourmet berries in a gift box designed especially for her for $49.99. This gift box will keep your berries cold and your flowers fresh. This is, I guess, today only, so you better hop on that. You pick the day, and they'll get them there to your lady just in time. Guaranteed, or your money back. You will like this stuff, and the flowers will last. Berries.com, Berries. The offer today only. You got 7 days, guys. Get on it. The perfectly paired combination. Roses and chocolate strawberries today from Sherry's Berries. Berries.com. The code deal is Drake. So you get on that and you can make somebody happy. We'll do a break. Come back. Check the sports quickly. Bad nights for the Grizzlies and the Tigers. And Rob Gronkowski's house got robbed. Oh, my.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.